have to get to them, and you know, every little bit you do helps. But I think if somebody was able to go around and look at these spaces, maybe, you know, bi-weekly, once a month, something, just to make sure everything's cleaned off, maybe, you know, peek into them once in a while, I think that would go a long way. And maybe the guys are. Like I said, I don't know. I don't know either way right now.
Do you finish, Dale?
You asked me a question.
I'm just asking, Frank Black, and I'm just asking if you're done or if you have going on for
it. The only other thing Mr. O'Neill, if I may, the only other thing
Nobody loves you more than me, man. I just want to know if you've done or not.
The only other thing I would say, and maybe this pertains more to the sanitary sewer end of it, but I know several of the towns I know have an emergency contract with contractors for their sewer lines, and maybe something can be put together for maybe something like North Street. That went down, you can call your emergency contract you already have under contract and have him troubleshoot it and get a repair to whatever price that he might have already in his contract. It might be something easier and something quicker for you to deal with. Maybe that's something to consider either way.
Somebody came down. I think that's pretty antiquated, that North Street.
It definitely is. But it's what you have right now. You know?
Hopefully, it's part of the project to get it fixed. I mean, we don't do the flood control project. We then have to do something
right now
with North Street, with the Valley Street pipeline. Yeah.
The Valley Street pipeline, absolutely. Now, again, timing is everything, but I hate to go on this one, I really do. The Army Corps project talks about replacing that station. Now, the way the Army Corps moves, I mean, you're talking that years out.
Huh?
The way they move their project, I mean, that's years out. But their project talks about replacing that station.
They're decades out.
They're engineers.
I'll be nice.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right.
I want to ask a question now.
Sure.
Punch list for the bridge. Where's that at?
36 bridge?
Yeah.
I wasn't involved in
that. Wasn't involved in that? Okay.
No.
Tim was in
that.
Is there another bridge over there?
Well, he pointed that way. I was like, what bridge is that way?
I saw a bill in there for 36 bridge. I don't know if you're on it. That's all. It must have been something else.
It was a very small portion, something I helped Mr. Hill with.
Oh.
It actually helped you guys out.
It was so small, we shouldn't have got a bill, but anyway. Thanks, Dale. Appreciate it.
No problem. Yeah, right.
Who's next?
Next, we have residents' request for no parking on a portion of Locust Street.
Okay. Who's going to speak?
Received an email from a resident and also Chief Work.
Chief.
Hi, well, I was contacted by Mary Jane Tyson last fall about this. Her property is a little unique.
Okay.
She's on the end of Locust Street, which actually borders Thoris and Ed's. Locust Street comes across the
Willow. Exactly what you mean. Yep.
And goes back towards.
Most people don't know that. It goes that way. Yeah.
The problem was Thoris had to put up a fence last summer. She has no access to her property other than Locust Street, which runs between the two houses. For years, 354 Shore Drive used that as a parking lot, basically, because no one really used it. They had access to Thoris and Ed's. Now she's requesting we make that no parking. I did bring the issue up last year to the administrator, Mr. Hilling, and the only I would suggest maybe is that we have a survey done or something, look at the actual road, because according to the tax map, the road is 16 foot wide. If you look at the picture she provided, I don't know. If the fence is too close or if they built onto the street.
Right, exactly.
You know, I think maybe we should have a look at it to see where the actual street line is.
And get the real width of what's currently there.
Yeah.
Because you don't think it's wide enough to sustain it right now.
Well, no. I mean, if we make it no parking, it'll be fine.
Right, I'm saying
you should really determine where the street is.
Correct, but you got to determine it also by the width and make sure you can park, because you might not be able to park it because it's right in my head.
Yes.
Legally.
Yeah, correct.
Anybody want to weigh in on this? Mr. Hill, do we have a survey or something we can look at? Obviously, a tax map, something like that, that'll tell us the true width of the street, what it should be, and see if something built on our street. Or
we'll do the best research we can. But
I wouldn't rely on a tax map.
What do you think, Mr. Heffing?
Well, we'd have to look at the dedication. I mean, it takes some research.
Okay.
But I don't think the tax map is the right. I wouldn't rely on a tax map for street widths.
The picture don't really.
doesn't show you anything.
Yeah, it doesn't show you anything.
Yeah, it's kind of...
That's the view from her house towards Willow Street.
Right.
And it shows you the parking.
Didn't we vacate...
That's like a sixplex or something right there on the corner.
Didn't we
right?
vacate
the
fire
one time? They do have a driveway in from the house.
Well, where is this house? This house is... You go in the driveway...
It goes back into
behind Edelback's house.
Correct. Yes.
Okay.
I'm the resident.
Okay. Oh, okay. Bill Petrasik used to live back there, right?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm just showing how old I am.
So you currently what you see, you're in favor of the no parking.
Oh yes, because like I said, the problem is there are two problems. One, we did have a fire back there.
That's what I was going to bring up, emergency access. That's
one, emergency access. And two, she had a problem last year where because they don't realize maybe it's a not a driveway. They dumped an enormous amount of snow back there, and she had no access to her house at all.
Mr. Hill, have you been down there at all?
No reason.
Okay.
So it's just like a car that's parked in the middle of the street.
The car... Did you provide these pictures, right?
I did.
Yes, please. Is that car left there, like it's parked there?
They're both parked there, and we've been stuck. We've had
okay. And neither one of those cars are residents right there.
One of the cars is a resident,
okay.
And the problem is because that car resides there continuously.
Right.
And believe me, she's been right smack in the middle where we've had to stay.
Right, can't even get by.
Right. It in. And really, you have to be going against the long lane of traffic on Willow to make the turn around that car, even if it is all the way over, because she can't cut the corner. There's the car, and there's the fence.
Correct. Yeah, I know.
And the other piece is when we got the certificate of occupancy when we purchased the home, the fire inspector required us to put a Shore Drive metal sign at the end, and I explained that's not my property.
Yeah.
He said it doesn't matter. You're not getting the CO unless you mark your house for emergency access. So we put a sign at the end there, and we've run into just. Been a continuous problem, and we tried to resolve it. The two of the big issues is one, it's a dirt road, so nobody knows it's a street.
Right.
There's no sign that says this is Locust Street.
Right.
And the parking, there's no emergency access.
No, you can vacate that. No, we should be able to just.
Can we just slap this thing up right away?
Yeah, you can do the parking tomorrow if you want.
Yeah,
I did finally get a hold of our tax documents have Highlands Properties as the owner. I found them, people saying they own it or Sewell property, so I got a hold of that. I left a message for them today.
Okay.
To advise the resident that that's a street that can't park there. But I still think
but there are no posted signs.
There are no posted signs, but I still think we should determine where the street really is.
Yeah, but I mean, while you're doing that,
we
can do both. That's the point.
Yeah, because he's supposed to park at provide adequate off-street parking. There's like six apartments in that place.
There's a couple
right?
of multis right there, isn't there?
Something
eight.
Like that. There's eight in that place.
Yeah, there's a couple of multis.
They do have a large parking lot in the front side.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah, that's right. I'll offer that we do the no parking and pursue, as the chief suggested, the true lines of the street and who's doing what there.
I'll second it.
Did you get that?
What about parking?
That's what I said right away. It's okay. You were talking.
You want me
right
to prepare
away.
An ordinance
please,
to make
sir.
That section of Locust between Shore Drive and
Willow Edge. Shore Drive.
Shore Drive and Willow?
No.
It's between Willow and our
fence.
Right.
I know, but between Willow and whatever, I guess the property of
you would have to probably do this.
You know when you go down is that Willow Street? Is that Locust Street too on that side? You go in his room and then you turn left, you know, on the other side of Doris Ned's property. Which street is that way? Like?
You know what? I think you're right.
It might
is.
Almost continue right
it
across.
Is it is Locust.
Right. It is Locust.
Yeah, it is.
That's right, it is.
So Locust Street runs from Willow Street to Doris and Ed's property,
comes out
then
of
picks up on the other side of Doris and Ed's to Matthew Street.
Matthew
I think
Street,
that is,
yeah.
right?
I think you're right, yeah.
So you got to get numbers.
You definitely need numbers. But we know where we want to start it and where we want to end it, so.
You need the numbers.
Mr. Hill and I'll go look at it.
Perfect. Do we need to...
I don't need to do anything right now.
Okay. But we're going to move in that direction.
You're asking me to do an ordinance. That's all included. So Mr. Hill and I'll take care of it.
Take care of it. Perfect. We'll be ready about 7, sir?
Yes.
How long? We already got a thousand things on the 21st. So.
Of course it will.
Man, we'll have something by the 7th put together, okay?
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Best practices review.
I know Beth was talking about some of this, right?
Councilor Payne? This came from Steve Buckley.
Okay, sorry, Steve.
Yeah, I put this on for a couple reasons. And I want to let you know that because we're fiscal year, our best practices questionnaire doesn't have to go back until April 2nd of 2012.
Okay.
One thing I would like to do, I wanted to bring to the council's attention. I would like the council to read all the questions over, take a look. My guess is we're compliant probably in about 60% of this.
Okay.
There are certain questions on here that concern the governing body. Okay, one of them was addressed tonight with the introduction of the pay to play. But number 7 on page 1 affects the governing body. Does your municipality require elected officials to attend basic courses on responsibilities and obligations in local government? Okay, so that's either you're going to do that or you're not. So
okay.
I need to know that. Now we have time, so that's not. And does your municipality have an established absence from meetings policy for elected officials and appointed board members?
Okay. Meaning like you get penalized if you miss X amount?
You're thrown off the board. Basically.
Well, there's already a statute. That's why some of this best practices stuff is
redundant.
Is redundant because the state statute, I want to say if you miss there's a number, but it's in the statute.
Percentage or like a number?
No, it's a number. I think, okay. I want to say 8 weeks or something. For some reason, the number 8 sticks out of my head. But there's a specific state statute as to meeting attendance,
okay.
At which point you can be kicked off whatever you're on. All you have to do is adopt a policy that mirrors the state statute.
Back it up, basically.
That's what they're asking you to do, which is redundant, but...
We do have it for the zoning and planning rules. It's built into their bylaws. We don't have
that.
3 months, I believe.
Like 3 like consecutive or total?
Right.
Okay.
Maybe we just need to extract those.
Other one that would take some council action, and that is, has your municipality held or scheduled a joint yearly open public meeting between the local school boards and the governing body to discuss community needs, shared services, and the school and municipal budgets? Now, like I said before, What I'm really looking for is the council to review this. You'll see those ones that really relate to the council and not to, let's say, the administration of the town, and decide how you want to handle that. Now, the good news is Carol and I will go over the rest of it, and you get to mark yes for prospective things that you will do.
Okay.
So there's a lot of stuff in here between now and April 12th. April Day, we're going to be able to take
care. You get a lot of it done, yeah.
Yeah. But some of that stuff is stuff we can't do, that only you can do as the governing body. So we'd like you to take a look at it. It's got some of the stuff is some pretty good ideas. Some of the stuff between maybe Carolyn and Tim, some of the stuff might already be done, and maybe it's not formal. Maybe
right.
You just need to do it
exactly.
Separately.
Right.
But we'll go through this whole thing. But like I said, there's 3 or 4 in there that relate strictly to the, you know, to the governing body or action that has to be taken by the governing body in order to answer yes to them. So that I just wanted to bring it to your attention. We have a lot of time to work on it, but you know, we should start working on it now and try to get as much done as we possibly can.
Okay.
See, my only question is with number 7. When I was on the school board, I had to take the courses on the Housing Authority. They're also very expensive courses.
Your GIF carrier will...
Oh, they'll provide it for us?
You should get some coverage, some of this stuff out of your GIF carrier.
Some of it,
because to think if you move forward and all 5 of us are going to 5 classes at $500 a pop...
No. I don't think it's going to be like that. Let me give you an example. If you were to go to the League of Municipalities and you pay your $50 fee to go to the League of Municipalities... If you required the governing body to obtain 3 courses a year,
okay.
Let's say, you could meet that in one shot at the League of Municipalities. Okay, something like that. That's really...
You go to three seminars down
there. Yeah, you know, like every once in a while, the league puts on courses for governing body members, and they might charge $50.
Whatever it is, right.
You know what I mean? Something, not these long-winded, like
Rutgers, right.
Yeah, because I was a little floored on the housing authority. You had 18 months to take 5 courses, or you got kicked off, so you had no choice. You had to go to them. And all over the state, so you're traveling down to Cape May, everything else, and they were probably over $500.
Well, those courses.
I mean, they were very good classes.
Those courses are more in line with like the required courses it would take for Carolyn and myself or the tax collector to get their original license. That's how that's like those courses.
Yeah. Also, what we got to be careful of is like, especially when you talk about the school boards, we don't have authority over them to say we got to have a meeting. So we have to make sure they want to do it.
But at least if we reach out to them,
it still counts.
I would answer that.
Well,
yes.
We've done it every year.
The defeated school budget doesn't count.
No, he's talking about a year end.
Yeah, but this is a formal,
a year end formal meeting with everybody.
Both entities. Well, let's say you met with one at a time.
Yeah, probably.
It'll be an open public meetings act where both boards are constituted at the same time. Okay, so that's what they're talking about?
Right, yeah, you would be advertising the whole
deal. The public would be an open discussion with the public, that kind of thing. If you reach out to them and they turn you down.
They have to do it too.
Yeah.
They have to.
So we'll get a yes on that.
Good.
You just tell them, let's pick one of your council meetings and call them in and have them show up.
Maybe have it at a bigger location.
I would say we make the effort. They turn us down. That's a yes for us.
And you get in writing, an email. Yeah. Hey, can't make it. Sorry.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Or we have no interest. You know, if they send back, we have no interest. Well, you know.
Steve, preliminarily, just looking at the list, I came up with almost the high 30 mark based on what I know. So I think you're right.
That you can just knock out right away.
I think we can obtain even a better.
Well, Carolyn and I did it last year.
Perfect. Yeah. Do what you've got to do.
And we instituted quite a bit last year, like website type things.
Good.
That we instituted last year.
Yeah, just keep us updated, via email, how we're going, what we need to do as a council.
We'll keep moving on that.
Perfect. Anything else on that?
That's it for now. We'll update you as we go along.
Perfect. And obviously, Tim and Carolyn can update the council up to just certain things that we need to get involved in.
Yeah.
Anyone have any other questions on number 3 for Steve? Okay, number 4. Transitional aid application.
Yeah, last year the council did not want to apply for transitional aid. It has very restrictive requirements. The number one requirement, I think the number one reason we couldn't apply for it last year was we did not meet the tax increase criteria from last year. I'm not sure where we're going to fall in on that yet. But it is restrictive. The state really puts the hammer down on the towns that get transit. If you apply for it and don't get it, you're not under their jurisdiction. But if you get it, then you have to follow their rules, and they're pretty strict.
Hammer down as far as what?
Well, professional service contracts.
Okay. Like preferred vendor type of thing?
Well, it has to be an open process, an RFP type process.
Okay, bidding and all that?
It's not bidding. RFP gives you more leeway than bidding.
Okay.
They're involved in like the hiring employees and contract situations and things like that. You have to come up with a documented plan of how you're going to not need this money next year type of situation.
Basically, okay.
Yeah.
And since we plan on having a zero tax increase,
we're
not going to qualify.
Okay, so we're good.
All right.
Computer system, that's you also, correct?
Yeah, that's a much bigger issue.
Let's talk about it.
Okay, here's what happened. I've been here for 21 years. Prior to me coming here, you purchased a computer system, and it's been maintained by Tom Walsh all those years, and that same system's been in place all those years, so obviously you got your money's worth out of that. But Tom passed away about 2 weeks ago. And that leaves us with no one to maintain the system, and if the system goes down, we're done. We're out of business. So I've contacted Edmonds and Associates. They are the dominant player in the state. I've sent you out, you have the list, their client list. You can see there's 41 towns in Monmouth County and the county of Monmouth. They are dominant within the state of New Jersey. I've met with them. I've met with several users on that list in the last couple of days. recommending that we switch over. Councilman Francie asked me to get some more additional information on expanding the system past what I need.
Right.
We've gotten quotes, I think you've seen them. Okay, they're about 45,000, I think, off the top of my head.
It's less than that. The total is 49.
The base system that I need to continue to operate is $41,000.
21, you said?
A little bit more than 21,000. They did do a infrastructure analysis the other day. They were here the other day and did a computer infrastructure analysis. We will need another machine that they gave me a price on. It is very low. You know, so it's extremely low price. It will handle 10 users. We'll make a port in there for remote users so that the fire department can log in remotely and also utilize the system. They have many, many modules that can be added to this system at any point in time that can do a lot of things for a municipality. This, we've priced out the tax and the sewer utility modules.
As a purchase.
Yeah, as additional modules. But they have too many for me to name. What I'll do is...
And they're all available on a cart, obviously.
Yeah, and I'll scan what they sent me in, and I'll pass that along just so everybody can see that. We're not looking to move along on that, but we have to have the financial software. We have to replace that system, and we have to do it now.
21,000 gets me the software?
Yeah, 21,000 gets us installed, trained, and up and running.
Okay, and is it included? Is there a fee after that, a monthly?
Yeah, well, there's a norm. The norm for all these is a maintenance fee. It's about 4,000, which is about what we paid anyway.
4,000 per
year.
Okay. Which and that includes all the updates and things like that?
Yeah, that they'll maintain the system for us. Okay. And if, I don't know how they work, like major updates. I don't know if they've had any major updates that, you know, that they've charged anybody for. But I have, it's funny because when I went to where I went, I got to see three different implementations at different times and where they might have made changes in the software. And they made one change in those three implementations that we're gonna get that anyway. That's included in the package. And it's a beneficial thing. It just gives us a little bit more leeway in how we want to set accounts up on our end, and that's up to us how we set these up. But they follow the state flexible chart of accounts in their system, which is what we need to do, which is, you know, something I recommend I wouldn't have done way back when, because there was no reason to incur those costs. Now, it's built into the system, and we've got to make the change anyway. The question is how we want to fund it.
Okay.
We can put it in the budget, it's a capital expense, it'd be outside of both caps, or we can bond it.
What does it do for us as far as, does it make any other department more efficient by using it?
Well, I think if you do the add-ons.
If you do the add-ons,
okay.
Would be tax huge. And utility, they would like to have it. It's just more modern, more up to date. It has a lot more power than the other systems have. It has it has some things that I didn't even realize it had when I went to Clark the other day and looked at part of the system, and I didn't even realize it had the capability to do some of the things that they're using it for. The scanning capability, you can attach, like you take the tax file. If somebody gets a tax court judgment files a tax court judgment, you can attach the judgment to the file, so you have it like online. You don't need the paper.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I know exactly what you mean.
It's got all that capability, and I'm assuming that it's in my end of it, which I don't deal with. You know, the tax side is the tax side, but I think I'm gonna have the same capability on the finance side. Just a lot less paper. Like right now, I have a place to file stuff. So this would eliminate some paper, maybe.
Does it have anything to do with making ability to pay online, ability to...
It has the ability for us to ACH out and wire transfer out, at least as far as the accounting end goes, and I'm sure what happens is that you just hook up into the bank. You know,
a little module, basically.
It's like how payroll works with ACH.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So we'll be able to do that, and I think in our cash management plan or in our prepayment resolution, we might have that in there already, the authorization to do that. So we're gonna move on that. when that system gets in place and we get trained on it and we find out all the power that it does have, we'll utilize it as best we can to utilize everything that's in there. But the goal down the road is to make as many electronic payments on our end, paying out school taxes, all that stuff electronically.
And this has the ability to do that?
Yeah.
It has the ability to take in payments also?
No.
Yes, it does, but on the tax side. Well, the payments all come in through the tax office. It has that ability on the tax side. But we have that ability now through automated ACH. We could do that. It's a voluntary thing by the tax, and obviously anytime.
We'll be able to track vendor and expenses with POs.
Yeah, well, we have that now.
But we don't have it. It's not working, right?
Yes, it is.
On your end, we have an ability to go in here and tell how much we bought electronically for gas and how we took it out each individual time?
No. We have the ability to track how much we bought of gas.
Right, but we don't have the ability to just
But that's not a finance package. That's an inventory control package.
And it doesn't have that.
Not in the module we're buying.
Right. That is what he's proposing.
It does have an inventory control module. No, I'm not familiar with that, though.
I know systems that do have that.
I'm not sure that I don't know about the gas side of that. It does.
I'm just picking gas out of anything.
It has an inventory control package, but we don't really have inventory. You know what I mean?
We have cars. We have.
No. That's not what I mean. Inventory control means when you have consumable supplies that you're going through on a routine basis. For instance, if you were a grocery store and you were tracking how much bread you're selling, how much you have on hand and how much you're selling through an automated system, that's inventory control.
Okay, but will we have the ability to track the bills that we're paying out by vendor number?
We have that.
Okay, well then how come we didn't know who had phones and things like that? And we didn't know there was two suppliers.
Well, because you knew what vendor was.
I don't know why you said we didn't know that.
Well, I sat here for a day and I know we didn't know that. Am I right or wrong?
I didn't know that.
All right, but am I right or wrong?
I know. If you go
into... And how come we didn't change a plan that we were paying more in texting than in the phone bill?
Okay, I comment on that every single month.
Okay. I never ever told me that.
I comment on the phone bills every single month.
And right now, I'm relying on a manual
account. Well, I send you notes all the time on the cell phones. All the time. All the time.
We're getting notes. I don't disagree when you tell me, hey, somebody went over this.
Well, but I brought up...
I'm not knocking you, by the way.
No, but
I want to do everything electronically.
We try to fix things.
The system that we have in place does all that. It tracks every vendor payment by the vendor number.
But are you tracking something that you're buying and then able to offset the disbursement?
I don't know what you mean by offset.
Okay, perfect example is the gas. And Chris and I talked about this for a day down here. We spend X amount in gas. We have no way to track.
I know what you're saying, but that's a completely different system.
I understand, but if I'm getting a new system,
I want
something that will be able to hook up and do that.
That's outside of finance packages.
But that's only a part of a package, is what I'm saying.
Well, I know that they have an inventory control package. I don't know if they have a fuel tracking package. That's a whole different
system. In my mind, it's, regardless of what it is, it's inventory you're putting out.
Well, would it behoove us just to move forward and get that package, and if we're going to either bond however we're going to do it, add the gas fuel thing into it too, and might as well just.
But you might have.
Well, I think you want to look.
You know, however you want it. You know, however it's cheapest.
The situation that you're bringing up, the software on the gas. I think, as a governing body, you're looking for something specific, and I think you guys need to be involved in that directly because you know what you want. Okay. I'll tell you my experience with the tracking systems is. You have to have a somewhat modern pump to be able to
I know that that's part of it. I understand that.
And that's outside of the software.
I understand that.
Okay.
But it has to have the capability, in my mind, to do all those things.
Or else
I'm not going to buy it.
You need a more modern pump.
Correct.
Yeah.
But the system that I'm buying, I want to have the capability to do all these things. Here's another example. We're relying on handwritten documents to track what repairs we're doing on cars.
It has that, I think. That's a module, though, that you would buy.
I understand that. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. We've got to get all that pricing first before we throw $41,000 out.
Many systems have that module.
I know that. That's my point. So what are those prices?
Well, we have all the paperwork on the modules, but for now, in the emergency situation, we didn't go anything past tax. Well, we started at finance because that's the emergency. Tax and sewer was what we looked at next. If you want, I can get prices on every module they have.
I definitely want to know something.
From my point of view, Steve is making his needs clear. I think we should ask Tim to look at this software package, and at this point, and at this point, make sure it's doing everything that we think we want it to do.
Right.
One of the downsides of these kinds of packages is that they're very, very training intensive. To get the most out of them, the operators, the Carolyns, the Debbies, the Allisons, they've got to know how to use the systems. Right. These things are
yeah, and let me tell you one other thing.
Very intensive in terms of training.
Different from all the other packages that you're talking about, the finance package has to meet the criteria of the Division of Local Government Services.
I understand.
Outside of, you know, you can't go to, let me just say this about New Jersey, because I'm not sure everybody realizes this. Most accounting in the United States is based on what's called generally accepted accounting principles. Mm-hmm. New Jersey isn't. So your standard packages that are out there off the shelf or even customized packages throughout the United States won't work in New Jersey. So that limits the amount of vendors you can use in New Jersey. New Jersey's got the most conservative accounting system in the United States. Okay, and because of that, we have only certain specialized vendors. And so it limits, you know, the accounting package side of this is much more limited than what you want on, let's say, the gas side.
Okay. My point is that they're not the exclusive vendor to the state.
They're not the exclusive vendor, but there aren't many vendors.
I agree.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. It's not like we have a whole large field to look at. And they are the dominant vendor in New Jersey.
I didn't realize how dominant they are, frankly.
I understand. I read the thing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are all over the place. And what's good is, the better part of the training part gives us a huge amount of resources we can go to, even just within Monmouth County.
Well, there'll be user groups for these kinds of packages.
Is the training all included in that price?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm going to make them put more training in.
Yeah,
you know, more hours in.
Sure.
They're also fairly negotiable on those numbers, I found out.
You're using them till you reach?
They offer
discounts. Right? Okay. If you buy software, you got to buy it.
They offered a discount when we went to the tax and utility. They gave a discount on the whole system.
Is it the more you buy?
The question is, in the system that we looked at, the 21,000 and change that handles the finance part, if you're interested in the utility and tax part and taking that discount, I would need to know that.
Sure.
Okay. So let's go back to the funding source first. As I said before, it can go into the budget, in the capital improvement section, which is outside of both caps, or it can go into a bond ordinance, into a capital ordinance.
It's the same thing, huh?
No, the capital ordinance is outside of the current budget, and you wouldn't have any budget effect in it until next year at a minimum.
12-13?
Yeah. So if you do it now, if you say, okay, just throw it in the capital section of the budget, then the impact is, let's say $21,000 is immediate impact.
Just the service cost.
No, the actual.
No.
Oh no, we want to bond this.
Okay, so then I'm going to move forward with bond council.
I'm sorry, Frank, I understand.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll move forward with bond council, but I would like within the next couple of days input from you guys as to where.
Can we get a list of all the? You have it already of all the modules.
I have what they don't have a list. They have a sheet. Like a spec sheet on every module, I'll get you that right away.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see, you know, the PD and
right, the
states might be able to do their purchase orders. Right.
Oh, it's got that. Well, it's got.
You know, where basically you go in, you log in a portal, you can do what you need to do, and a BPO is sent out to
you. You exactly. Will do requisitions.
Right.
And the purchase order gets created here off the requisition.
Right, and then forwarded out from here.
Yeah. And I believe forwarded out electronically, which is also, like, makes it a lot easier for
that's
us.
A huge.
Yeah, no, that's a big plus.
Yeah.
Yeah, can you get us all those?
Yeah. Yep. So I think I'll get you all that, but I would like your input on that tax utility situation if you're looking to do that. Even if we don't do it tomorrow, we can incorporate that in to the bond ordinance and move on it.
I think our tax collection process is the most antiquated
process
we use, and at this point that has as high a priority to get fixed. Because at this point, I don't know how many times you handle those checks. I mean, there's, oh, absolutely. I mean, within the same day, you handle the same transaction. to accommodate what you have to do.
To a certain extent, but let me just tell you this, because all systems have this capability, I don't know if you realize, and we use that here. All the systems have scanner capability. All the bills have scanner capability. Like when
not what we have now.
Yeah. When a huge mortgage processor pays, we don't handle that individually. They either send us something that we input into the system that automatically updates the system. Like we don't.
Yes, but not individual payments.
Right,
not
if you walk in the door.
That's the window time that we can.
Oh, I understand.
We can eliminate some of that.
Covers the majority of payments too.
You saw in the proposal they had the scan part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's part of it. The other part is
we collect it and then we hold it till the end of the day to make a receipt to attach it to a record. It's crazy.
The other part is to institute the voluntary ACH payments.
What's an ACH? You said it twice.
Okay. Well, ACH stands for Automated Clearinghouse. But what happens is we send out a letter to the taxpayers and the sewer users. And it says, if you sign up for this, you're allowing us to debit your bank account.
On X day, whatever
the day is. We will send you a bill. But on X day, we send the list to the bank, and through the automated clearing system at the Federal Reserve.
Do we lose a percentage of that from the bank fee?
Huh?
Do we lose a percentage of that?
No. The ACH stuff is free.
The bank doesn't make any money on that? Even if they can, the consumer.
All the bank is doing is processing
your check.
Yeah. No, that's fantastic.
They're processing a tape.
Want to make sure someone's not paying 1% more during they don't know.
It also has e-payment. Some people.
That's what I'm saying. Do we have the capability of debit cards as you go?
Yes, we will.
Online?
They have e-payment capability and credit card payment, which is really credit card payment.
Pretty much, debit, whatever.
But credit card payment?
2.5%?
Well, what happens is most of the processors who handle municipalities charge the taxpayer that fee. And it can be steep for taxes.
But they know what I mean.
Yeah. You got to say yes.
Yeah.
I want to pay this. I'm willing to pay this fee before the transaction happens. But ACH is free.
Just want to make that clear. That's all.
ACH is a free transaction, but it's instituted on our. Okay. We get it.
We send the tape to the bank, and
they send it through the banking system, and it hits everybody's accounts. Similar to if anybody has Zip Check with New Jersey Natural Gas or JCP&L, or automated payment.
Cell phone bills over that now, whatever it is.
Everybody has.
Cable.
But we can institute that. And once that system's in place, it's reverse direct deposit for payroll.
Correct.
That's all it is. Reverse direct deposit. So all that stuff needs to be put in place. But that's why I want you to take a look at it and say, okay, yes, or yay or nay, and we'll go forward based on that.
Okay. Via email, or you need to know tonight?
No, you can do it. Email me.
Okay.
Okay, and I'll wait a couple of days before I contact the bond counselor to draw the ordinance.
Do we want a bond, or do we want to put it to the general?
I say bond.
What do you say, Ben?
I think a bond.
What do you say?
I really don't know. What are the advantages of the bond versus?
Advantage and disadvantages, which you... reiterate if you don't mind.
Disadvantage of bonding is paying the interest. Right. Advantage is spreading the cost over a number of years.
It won't hit us till 2012-13 if we go that route.
There won't be any impact on the budget till 13.
Okay.
The other side of the coin is we need four votes. Like what you said.
I don't care.
Okay, so we need four votes to bond.
Okay. I'll go with bonding.
Well, I see three.
You're
four? Okay, and you're a maybe. Okay.
That's there you go.
All right. So I'm waiting on, just waiting on whether or not you want to include any other modules within the purchase.
And you're going to get us a list of all the essentials.
Yep.
And then whatever that new dollar amount is.
Also, let me just say this. EdmondsAssociates.com. Okay. Go to that website.
Oh, it's on that paper you gave us, too.
Go there. Yeah. Because it's amazing. I'm going to send you, they probably have it there anyway, but I'll send it to you anyway.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Okay. Anything else, sir? Computer system related?
The only other thing that I said was our consultant that we have, which is United Computer, they contacted United about the hardware infrastructure and said, you don't want to put your system on their server. So Edmunds came in and said, you know what, you know, for a 10-user system, you don't need this big server. We can give you a small box for small, for a very small amount. I was quite surprised by how small. For a small amount of money, and you can connect 10 users in, and the fire department can connect through,
remote.
At this point, logmein.com,
right.
Which you're from, I'm sure you're familiar with. So that's how I connect today from my house into the system all the time, is through logmein.
Okay.
I use it all the time. So for now, I don't think we have 10 other users. I don't think we have 10 users within the building. So I think we're good to go. The infrastructure that runs the network, you may have to deal with that. But that would have nothing really to do. My system's going to run independent of that.
Yeah,
for
no,
now.
No, that
yeah, you may have a problem with that down the road, though. Apparently, your server's very old.
See, when you say users, you mean anyone connected to that server?
Yeah.
Lance is connected. I bet you we would police.
Well, that's one connection. Lance is a connection.
I would be one.
Yeah.
No, how many seats? You might have 5 seats in there.
Yeah, but you don't. But he doesn't want 5 people accessing. He, first off, only one person from the police department should be doing requisitions.
Is that right? Right now, Joe, one person.
Yeah, only one person in his department should be in charge of the budget. Let's say for the
right.
police. So you only want one person doing that.
So you're meaning access to the finance program, not access to the server.
Oh, no. Just
yeah,
the
computer
access.
Okay. Just to that part of it. Yeah,
the fire department wants to requisition online.
Gotcha.
They won't even be considered a user.
They'd be like a guest.
Yeah. So the police department, the court, that's 2. Everybody else is in the same office.
Or in the first aid squad.
Don't forget Timmy down there.
Yeah. Don't forget my other office.
His satellite office.
You will be coming in through login. Because this 10-user system is not designed for those remote locations.
That would be good. Then you can do purchase orders at home and stuff.
Look at
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
94, 24.
For any computer, you'll be able to do it.
Oh, today? Oh.
Any computer.
I told you about that. I told you.
So, It's really a pretty powerful system. I wish we had a better server that we could, because with a better server, the connections from remote locations would be even better.
Okay.
But
is this server that they're going to provide us doesn't count on that? That's nothing to do with that.
The server that they're projecting for me has nothing to do with that, but we're talking about a server that I think is like $500 or something. You know, you're talking about nothing for a server. That's cheap.
Right, but what about the other one?
That's outside of my realm. That's maintained by...
Does that fall under the Mr. Hill umbrella?
Yeah. Or the clerk.
So can you get us a price on that?
We're talking about enterprise software, and I think we have to think about the big picture to some degree.
I agree.
And the server, at this point...
will be part of that picture.
Correct.
No question, yeah. Let's put it in there now. So we
correct.
Know looking at.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to move forward independent of that for now.
Right, you got your rent to do, and we got our rent to do.
But what I would recommend then, you ask for United to give you a written proposal of what you need to upgrade that server.
If you can,
I think we already had one.
Yeah, let's get it again.
So why did I say like $27,000?
No, it might have changed too. Let's get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, we had a meeting.
That was a year ago.
I think when we get to that point, this is my recommendation. Apply for a new one and see what they
say. Their pricing may have changed.
They probably did.
Then you may want to talk about internally, if you could replace that particular contract with your own IT person on a part-time basis and do no worse than break even, you may want to talk about that.
Okay.
That might be much more beneficial to you.
Rather than your net.
Rather than any outside
than
service.
Than anybody, yeah.
You know, not, I'm not knocking them. I'm not saying they don't do a good job, but if you have somebody at your beck and call, even if a PC blows the power switch or whatever
mm-hmm.
that's in there, I mean, which is a small item to fix, that's somebody you have that you're paying that's now not going to cost you except for the part. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Okay.
I think if you went around and you polled the employees, I think they would all prefer that as opposed to an outside tool.
As long as the dollars are intended.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Obviously,
you're not
yeah.
using anything on the
tool. Well, let's figure out
there you go. Is that it, Steve?
Yep.
Thank you. Zoning ordinance amendment, Shadow Lawn.
Okay, the planning board has adopted their recommendations in a form of resolution, which has been submitted to the council for review.
Now, to come back to the council from the planning board, if we want to make any alterations or do nothing, correct? Does anybody have any comments, concerns about number six, which is a zoning ordinance amendment? Chris, I know you talked about something. Did you only amend? I suggest amending?
We needed to change the number of stories to be above grade. We need to limit the number of stores on the mid-rise option. We say 6 to 8 stories, but it doesn't suggest if they had 4 stories of parking, it doesn't force them to put that into the ground.
Okay, so that limits on the parking level, so it don't offset the height.
Correct.
Okay, what's your suggestion?
At this point, so 6 to 8 stories exposed, above grade.
Okay, did you want to also make sure it was enclosed parking?
I don't remember.
Like, you're not looking at, a bare garage.
I don't remember talking about that. Sorry.
So, what is your suggestion?
That the
mid-rise.
The mid-rise be modified to show a maximum 6 to 8 stories above grade.
Okay.
So, parking is included in that 6 to 8 stories, then they only have, say, 4 stories of residential.
Okay. So 8 maximum including parking, period.
Correct.
Okay. What do you, Beck, do you have any suggestions, comments, or concerns? I knew you actually went the closest to the, out of us. Mr. Connolly? Questions, comments, or concerns?
On the report?
Yeah. No, well, on the order, on the proposed amendment from the zoning board.
No.
Okay. Mr. O'Neill? Okay, so we have to create a motion.
We have to draft.
You didn't even draft an ordinance yet.
Okay.
You all kind of spitball ideas at the planning board, and this is their response.
Or the subcommittee.
Right, and this is their response.
Okay.
So the next step is to incorporate your own ideas and their ideas, whichever you pick and choose, into an ordinance.
Okay.
If you choose to adopt the ordinance, you introduce it rather, then you still have to send it back to the planning board
with
comments.
Yeah.
So the next, you don't have to take any formal action now unless you want to draft the ordinance.
Okay. I'll offer that we draft an ordinance with the what they sent us with Councilman Francie's recommendation.
I think you've created a problem for Mr. Halfacre in terms of drafting this ordinance because there aren't a lot of definitive statements in here as to what is their recommendation.
They comment on what you guys provided them, but frankly, you guys sort of gave them a laundry list. And I think what they did is they came back with sort of their comments on your laundry list. They didn't really come back and specifically say, they make a couple of recommendations. They make a couple of concrete recommendations, but the majority of what they say is kind of
should we ask them to qualify it more?
Well,
qualify it more?
Well,
I think we have to
do it here. Yeah. Okay. I don't think this is going to go next meeting type thing. I know,
I would suggest, Mr. Mayor, is perhaps two members of council sit down with myself to come up with what we want to do, what they want to do, and then have it reviewed by the entire council.
Okay.
Not for introduction, but just to review and comment
on. Any additions or subtractions?
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm game for that.
Okay. When do you want to do that? Who wants to do that? I'll do it.
I'm actually interested in it too.
Okay. So is everyone okay with Kevin and I doing it?
Sure.
Okay. Perfect. Kevin, I'll do it, Mike, and we'll set up something with you, okay?
That's fine.
What's
what you should start with is, you have your original letter.
Uh-huh. We all know all
their
file.
Comments, and you have the attachments to their comments. So we should all, sit down and go through that.
Okay. And we'll be in contact with, and we'll let the council know when we're meeting, and then obviously bring back what the substance of the meeting was. What's next?
Councilman Connolly's memo on development in the Highlands.
A point of order, please, Mr. Mayor.
Go ahead.
I think this item should be tabled at this point. This is a very broad discussion. Much more related to campaign literature than it is to specific things that we should be doing. And this council.
Well, I don't mind waiting. This has nothing to do with campaign literature whatsoever. What are you talking about?
That this council should be dealing with specifics, all right, and that a generalized discussion on what we should do is kind of outside the purview of the council meeting.
Okay, I just want to say that I didn't even put this up for the council meeting.
Okay.
First off. Second off, it has absolutely no implications towards the campaign. What it does is, yeah, the general discussion, which I wouldn't mind putting up now because I think this meeting is becoming painful at this point, but we do need to push forward conversations on where our town is going and doing something about it, and that's what this is about. It's not about anything else but that. And it's about a good, what I consider some very good suggestions, which should be taken up with our discussion we just had, the zoning board.
I think there's a motion on the table to, motion to table.
Offered by Mr. Francie.
I mean, I would table it too. I thought we were, I thought it was more of an internal discussion amongst all of us.
That's what I thought.
That's what
starting
I thought.
Point.
No, I don't know. How did it get here?
That might be my mistake then, and place it on.
Oh, okay.
So,
yeah.
Take it down, do you have a problem removing it?
No, I just want to make clear that's not a campaign maneuver.
Yeah, I thought it was more internal.
So, Mr. Conley is going to remove it. Okay. So, we're going to have a couple of motions.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Okay, that brings us to cat license ordinance. Mr. Francie?
I'd like to remove this for discussion tonight.
Table it to the workshop meeting in September?
Yes.
Mr. I'm sorry, Chief Blueway, was this you, original oyster?
Yes, this was
a carry
discussion.
Yeah, no, we've been talking about it, absolutely.
What happened?
Nothing. I have Detective Dobbins here, but I'm kind of filling in on
sure, Mr. Detective Dobbins, mind coming up to the front and letting us in on what, if anything's happened?
Chief sent me down after your last meeting last month.
Right.
And I went out of my way to get Doug and say, you and your three new partners, this is a list of everything you need to do after you talk to Carolyn.
Little punch list again.
And after you fill out the paperwork with Carolyn. And he's never gotten back to me since then.
He's picked up an application but never returned an amended application.
Okay. How long ago did he pick up the application? You recall? I mean, okay, give me a
shortly
sure.
After the meeting.
Okay.
And basically speaking, we said we wanted a response within 4 to 5 days, if I remember correctly.
At least it was the top.
That, that was after 2 days first and 4 days.
When I gave him the list, it was July 22nd. And I promise you, I made it, I broke it down Barney style. He totally understood what he needed to do.
Okay.
So what are our options right now?
I think the resolution you all adopted at the July meeting was to give him until the September meeting, but I asked, because of the problems the chief had, to put it on for tonight.
Sure.
So it was a tracking,
some progress.
Sort of a tracking date. But I think we actually gave him to the September 7th meeting.
Okay.
And I got to tell you, at this point, he's going to probably gonna have to be shut down September 8th.
I think we should, can we tell him then?
I thought we were pretty clear last time he was here.
I thought we were crystal clear.
So do
he's not here.
Can we send a letter?
Is that something we do like right now to pressure him to say, hey, look at that?
Yeah, send a letter tomorrow.
Well, if he doesn't get it done by September 7th,
there's no recourse but to shut it down. Can you
offer? I mean, at this point, even if he came in,
he's not going to get it done
he
by
can't
Sunday.
Get it.
There's no way to
he can't get it done.
This won't be done in a month, sir.
Right.
Even if he came in with the application,
tomorrow,
if he sat down with me,
right.
All these people have to come up with all these finances,
right.
Everything, the money is.
All the records, everything.
This wouldn't be done for you next month.
So Mike,
you might be able to fill out the application.
I think you still have to send a letter saying, you know, it's our intention as of now because of no progress on your end being made that our intention is to shut you down, whatever the date is that we have.
Are you allowed to express?
I think you got at least to express that it's happening. You know what I mean?
And, right. But I think you also ought to say, at this point,
it's probably unfixable.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's my point. At this point, he should know so he doesn't stop the bar. Blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So will we actually be objecting to the change of corporate structure application?
Yeah. I'm sorry?
Yeah, that's what the original application was.
But
he's adding partners and all, and we can't. So
we've had no movement since July 22nd,
right.
23rd.
From what I believe what Carolyn told me is he took his contract, his agreement back. He You no longer have one, right, Carolyn?
Excuse me?
You took it.
Yeah, the original application was withdrawn.
You went through it, right? You
know, I have the original application, but he came and picked up another blank one. He said he was going to add other people on and amend it. He has yet to come back.
But yeah, that means that's irrelevant. I mean, I appreciate you telling us that, but that's irrelevant. Nothing's happened. That's what we're saying.
Well, I'd have to. Well, wait. Now we have to clarify. Did he withdraw his application? He's continuing
his
original.
He's
adding two more people.
If he's adding
two more, but if he's not changing anything, then there's nothing for us to do. His original application was to add two people.
His original application was to add him on as what? Two people said.
To add himself on.
To someone else's license.
He notified us that he's going to add two more people onto that
license. Which he was not on originally, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So it stands right now, he's not even on.
Correct.
No,
he's not. Nothing's been
approved yet, sir. No, Joe, out of the races, gave a
temporary. James Allen is the owner of the liquor license. He was going to give him 2% of the liquor license so that Mr. Lentz could operate the business.
Right.
So,
which
really,
is a fairly routine.
Right.
Transaction.
Right. 430 days, I think it is.
All right.
That was in May?
That was before Memorial Day.
December 16th,
2009. But who's operating the business right now? Is this guy Lentz operating the business?
There's no question he is. Yeah.
Well, he's got to get out of the business. Bollering can still operate the business.
He's the landlord.
As a legal.
Is Bollering on the mercantile? Is Bollering on the mercantile?
I don't know.
We just issued.
I gave Mr.
Bollering is on that, is he?
I don't think he was on there. That was the whole thing.
So,
right, I'll sit down with Carolyn tomorrow.
I think a lot of people brought up is correct, and especially the officer's point. He can't remedy this in the time.
No.
Going in the direction we thought we were going.
Well, he can't do what he wants to do.
Correct. That's my point.
There might be other ways for them to stay open.
Correct.
That's just them staying open, but. They can't, if this guy is in there operating, then he's got
to... Now, if the plan is to shut down for the winter, they need to understand that there's not going to be a temporary opening this year as the chief granted them to open for the summer.
It was to close for the winter.
I don't know that.
He wanted to stay open.
Let's cover all bases.
Well, he has his mercantile license. That was approved and issued. The question is whether or not he can serve alcohol.
I think the answer is no.
If... The liquor license itself is valid if the owner of the license is operating the establishment. Everyone says, no, he's not.
But how do you know if he is or not?
Well, that's the problem. We have to...
Is there parameters that he has to be
the
certain...
We can check the mercantile
time?
Application and see who's fingerprinted.
Come to the back door.
He's not on the mercantile. He's not operating.
We'll verify that.
That would common sense would dictate that, right? Yeah.
We'll check it out tomorrow. Get the papers out and check
please.
It out.
Okay, thank you for your end of it, gentlemen. We appreciate it. And Joe, obviously, I appreciate you helping out the new business, in theory, try to get started. But
let me do some follow-up.
Seems like every time we do
it's a good question.
Who's this?
He wants
go ahead. Go ahead. You're up. Name and address, please. Okay.
My husband, Billy. I have an issue. There's a new construction going up at 89th Street Avenue next to my house.
Okay.
And it's huge. It's like, doesn't seem to, like I bought the code book.
Huh?
I wrote down the list of words, sir. Now I'm waiting so long. What is it?
Sorry.
But like, the lot coverage codes, I like was checking it. It doesn't seem... we've had dialogues with the building and zoning and emails back and forth. And so it seems like I'm not satisfied.
Okay.
Because it seems like something isn't meshing.
They're exceeding what they're allowed to is what it seems like?
Meshing with what's there.
Sure.
So I'm wondering how they were passing inspections, why they didn't have a variance, got a lot of issues at hand.
Tim, are you familiar with this sort of site?
Would
you be able to go down there tomorrow?
Sure.
What is the address?
89 Cedar.
That's what's getting built?
Yeah,
correct.
It's on the dry side.
Yeah, but there's no...
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah, that I understand. There's no sense in Timmy going down unless he goes down with one of the code guys.
Oh, yeah, obviously bring the, you know, the
Terrain. It's Mike Mullins.
Mike
Mullins.
So that's
Mike's
in the third. That's the Mark.
Oh, the Mark.
That's okay. I know you've got all these jobs going on. I understand. The appropriate
thing. I'd like to help her add Bill Shea and anyone's here. I'm in the trades, third generation in the trade, licensed, certified building inspector in the state of New Jersey. I think your zoning officer made a mistake in approving what is done there. So
okay.
Now you guys are exposed to the issues, so I know it's not an easy fix. The deck is 9 feet off the back of the property line. That's, you know, and he's calling the deck a second accessory structure.
Accessory structure.
A shed is an accessory structure.
Right.
Not a second floor deck attached to the house.
Right.
That goes out 15 feet. It's not necessary. There's no more green space there.
None.
The air conditioner is put towards our yard. Now that's considered, it does have to be on the floodplain, but the code says it needs to be screened, out of sight. It's right bam, and you know, now it's, house is 36 feet tall. I did my house. We keep a nice house. I'm sure you guys all know where we live.
32 feet.
Yeah, we have, and it was to the peak. This now, I understand with the flood issue, the zoning has changed with getting all these houses out.
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, that's acceptable, I understand that. It used to be to the peak, now it's the mean of the ridge, which is halfway. So I had to comply, and he's told me. There's not much we can do about
that. Does that mean I can make my roof 36 feet? Because I could really use the extra space.
You know, you have to.
Does he have parking underneath that foot?
Yeah, so he gets 2.5 feet for parking.
That's 2 feet.
So he's right at the ledge of where he's allowed to now. So
if you don't mind.
Became more flexible.
Tomorrow night, Bill, all the guys come in.
All those officials are here tomorrow.
The official, the code official,
yeah,
they all
come.
We've done that already.
Mr.
That's
Hill will go down.
We're
and
here. We're
Mr. Hill
go
down. He's their boss. And he'll go down and he'll speak with you guys.
We get
those
the
guys.
Then we get the poo-poo. You know, I sent you guys an email.
Well,
my
you know,
neighbor's
I don't want to drop the bomb, you know, but I think, you know, I don't want to call the DCA because I feel like that there's a real problem going on. And
okay.
I'm coming to you for help.
Sure.
Because we've done the borough zoning officer and building department and stuff, and I'm really unhappy. I've never been forced to come to a position, be in a position like this where I have to present this and a problem with the town so passionately.
You got to let me let my lead guy go down there. And report back, and obviously you'll have dialogue with them tomorrow, too.
Call them first thing.
Hey, it's not,
we're not
into
leaving.
You know, we are for change, we're for improvements.
Right, right. Yeah. Just want to comply. If you got to comply, you want them to comply. Understood. No, we agree.
Was there, did he have a variance application?
No.
I was waiting for that to come prior to the construction. There's a lot of, and we're all undersized now.
And you know that, being in the trade, what should have happened.
Capabilities of what the house, but I think something got past our zoning officer here. Now it becomes an issue.
Of course it does.
How far?
Hopefully you'll find out tomorrow.
It's just, I would say, what, 90% done?
Yeah, there's sheetrock.
Yeah.
We've been dealing with this for months, too, like I said, without any.
When it was framed, I called. When it was trying to stop the exposure.
Did you get any of this, or was this prior to you? Okay.
I've been dealing with the building department.
Okay, no, because can you?
Yeah, absolutely.
You'll know. We'll get an answer or at least something tomorrow. Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Appreciate it. Thank you for coming.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Offered by Mayor Nall. Second by Ms. Kane. All in favor?
No.
Opposed.